Today, we want abundant, delicious, and affordable food, as we always have. What's different is that many of us want a lot more than that. We want to know that our food has been produced in an environmentally sustainable way. And if that food is meat, dairy, or eggs, many people want the assurance that the animals are treated humanely. But it's not possible to know every farmer and rancher producing your meat, eggs, or milk. And food labels have limited space to tell the story behind the food. So we have to depend on objective third parties to confirm that the animals are treated humanely. One of the prominent organizations certifying humane treatment of animals is the American Humane Association. In this Farm to Table Talk podcast, I asked Dan Berman of American Humane, what exactly is humane treatment? And how can consumers know whether the food they consume is from animals treated humanely? You'll hear some noise in the background because our conversation was in the convention center where the Natural Foods Expo was taking place. To better understand humane animal production and certification of the food we consume, this is worth a listen.
Everybody seems to want to know how their food is produced. And when it gets into livestock, it's a high concern as to whether or not the animals are raised in a humane fashion. At the table today at Farm to Table Talk is Dan Berman, and I've known Dan from times that he was involved with the Foreign Agricultural Services, and now Dan is the Strategic Alliances Manager for the American Humane Association. Dan, can you explain what the American Humane Association does, especially as it relates to food production?
Sure. Thanks, Roger, and really great to see you. Run into you at the show. The American Humane Association is America's original animal welfare association. It was founded in 1877 to address the abuse of animals that were being shipped live by rail cars to the terminal markets. So we have a long history of looking out for animals. We are also the original farm animal welfare certification program. What that means is, and it's just exactly as you said, people do want to know how their food is raised and where it's from. And I would say we fit under the larger umbrella of sustainability. We do not believe that it's wrong to use livestock animals, but that if you do it, it should be done the right way, in a humane way. So we have a program that starts with a scientific advisory committee, 29 eminent animal welfare experts, and they have come up with standards, humane standards for each animal species, and those are the ones that we apply, again, voluntarily to the producers who choose to be in our program.
Now, let's talk a little bit about those animal species.
The hot topic now, actually, is chicken, and especially eggs. That's where a lot of the, you know, attention and action is. The second hot one is pork, and I can explain why. But, for example, we do not believe that it's humane to produce eggs in conventional so-called battery cages. And so our standards, they have different humane permutations, you could say, but the big, you know, buzzword now is cage-free eggs. There's a lot of talk about that. There's a lot of labeling. And what we do is say, if you want to say cage-free, this is how you do it, and we will certify to that effect.
So when you say that, now that's cage-free can mean quite a few things. So, no, that's not just large cages, because there's Proposition 2 in California defined how much space there has to be. But they were still in a cage. They could be in a bigger cage. So how do you define cage-free? Are they running loose outside, or how do you?
Okay, we have specific standards for there, and also they're transparent. They're on our website. They need a certain amount of space. We also allow, and we are, I'd say, the exception. We do not think that cage-free is equivalent to humane. And we also think we have something called an enriched colony, which is a sort of a cage, but it's a group housing unit that we believe, if you do it right, can be humane. It's more humane to raise layers in an enriched colony than inhumanely in a so-called cage-free.
Let me ask you then, what might be an example of what's inhumane about a cage-free? What are the types of cages or the way that they're kept that you would not consider that to be humane?
a lot of it has to do with the training of the workers, the way we are auditors, and this is something that's important. We do not do the inspections ourselves or audits. There are third-party auditors that go in and in a very detailed way look at how the producers are applying our standards. And we look at the condition of the birds. For example, it's in a way outcome-based, that if there's a problem with the birds, if there's sanitation problems, then we would say it's not humane, even if it's cage-free. So it's a whole system. The cage-free standards, they have their spaces. We also have free range and pasture. And those are larger spaces with more outdoors. They're gradations. So humane means not only the space, but the way, it's a holistic way that the animals are raised.
So you have these third-party auditors, and they visit farms, and now are these farms actually, like, certified, too, with the USDA?
The USDA doesn't go into this area. This is sort of what's known as the private standards world. We're looking now at our logo mark, which is also on my shirt, and the producers, and again, this is a voluntary program. We want to work with producers who want to be recognized for best practices. So they join our program, sometimes at the request of their customers, you know, the retailers, but sometimes the producers just come to us and they say, I want to be in your program. We're a nonprofit, and yes, the auditors come, and once the producers have met the criteria of the third-party audits, they have earned the right to use our logo. The logo is pretty simplistic, but there's a lot of integrity and science behind it. And so, yes, we have a group of certified producers. We just walked by one of them in the hall that produces chicken. And those producers are in our program. They're on our website, and we're very proud to be working with them. Our goal now is to grow the demand for this program because, as you said at the beginning, people, I think, given the choice, they do want to know that the livestock products they use are treated humanely.
Now, with that certification, too, do you monitor them, or do you go back and revisit to make sure they're keeping up the standards because they get in initially with you, but to make sure that they're continuing to treat the chickens or raise them in a humane fashion? Do you check on them?
Yes, it's an annual audit, and we have a very good track record of people staying in the program, but sometimes if you're not audited satisfactorily every year, you can't stay. It's not a one-time deal.
I know with pork, there was gestation crates were very controversial, and for those that don't realize what those are, is that the sows, when they are going through their whole pregnancy, are kept in a crate, and they really have very little room to move. Do you have a position on the use of those gestation crates?
Yes, we do, and again, we're trying to find something that works for producers that's also certified as or declared as humane by our scientific experts. And so for that one in particular, we do allow for very limited use of those crates for a limited period of time, and they have to be built in such a way that the animals can move and turn around. So again, it's not a free-for-all, do whatever you want, and it's not, they're totally banned. It's something that we think is good for the animal and achievable for the producers.
A large share of hogs are produced in confined facilities now, and they can be fairly large facilities where, when I was growing up, hogs were often able to run outside a little bit more in open lots, but even then it was on cement floors oftentimes in buildings. So when you look at the way these hogs are raised until they get to the market, do you have any guidelines as to whether or not they need to be more outside than inside, or is it just a space issue that if they're inside that they're not too crowded? What are the things you look at?
It's a space issue. What we try to do in all of our, you know, the way we approach it is something that actually came from Great Britain, from the Royal Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals, and it's called the Five Freedoms. And it's basically trying to allow animals to exhibit their natural behaviors. It's allowing them to have access to the necessities of life, and it's freedom from fear and trauma. So we've tried to apply these basic principles, the five freedoms, into very specific guidelines on how animals are raised. And it's not in the five freedoms that animals need to be, you know, outdoors. You know, that's fine, but it's not an absolute requirement.
Are there any other species programs that are of note that you're paying attention to? I don't know whether it's sheep or goats or any other. And perhaps I don't know if you get into fish, or whether or not how fish are farmed either.
Well, to start at the end, aquaculture is the next frontier. People are starting to look at it. We are too. There's interest in it, but it's at the very incipient stages. The so-called, and don't take this the wrong way, the minor species, we have standards for dairy goats, for example, and we have a producer that produces cheeses, you know, according to this. We do not have with sheep. We're working on for ducks. When you said poultry, another big one is turkey. We have robust standards for turkey. Beef is, and we do for dairy, and we have several dairy producers who are certified with us, including a very well-known one in California. Beef is a challenge, and I sort of circled around beef. The way that beef is produced in America makes it challenging for us to certify because we require complete traceability, and many of the beef animals lose their identity, you know, along the way from the pasture to the feedlot to the plant, so that makes it challenging.
Well, and I'm wondering, too, I mean, not too long ago, they've also changed the country of origin labeling laws, too. It was because they were running into trade issues, and they had to change country of origin labeling. And when that whole controversy came up, it became clear that sometimes cattle were born in Mexico and sent to a feedlot in Colorado or somewhere, and then maybe slaughtered in Canada and coming back. Or even the animals could be, or the meat itself could be coming from many different countries, possibly, and blended. And this kind of raises the question I have, too, is that you're the American Humane Society, so do you take any responsibilities in looking at how animals are raised outside of the United States that might be consumed in the United States?
That's a great question, and the answer is yes, and one in a surprising way. First, it's sort of like USDA organic. You don't have to be a U.S. producer to get that. It's a set of standards, and it's not location-specific. We have producers who are certified in Canada, and amazingly or interestingly, we have pork, which is produced in Poland and brought to the U.S., and it's certified. We have sent our auditors to this production facility in Poland, because the meat is marketed here in the U.S. with our certification. So we're not interested in the trade aspect so much as the animal welfare aspect. And this logo, yes, it's the American Humane certification, but it will travel.
The next question that I have is, like, who actually contacts you and is going to want you to certify us? Are your customers ever retailers or restaurants or just the producers and the processors?
Another great question. Our direct contracts, and these are contracts, legally binding contracts, are with the producers. That's who we work with to make sure that the producers are producing to our standards. However, where the demand comes from could be from any of the above that you mentioned. There has been and everyone knows this, a huge spate of announcements, mainly by food service companies, and McDonald's was one of the ones that started all the dominoes falling, saying that they're going to be using cage-free eggs in their breakfast products. Well, that's going to be a demand pull factor, where if McDonald's says we need cage-free, then the producers who want to sell to McDonald's are going to have to become cage-free. So far, most of our demand has come from the production side, but now we're seeing much more interest from the retail side, from the sales side, saying, I want to help. Can you help us, American Humane, work with producers so that I can get a humanely certified product? That's the next frontier.
I wonder if you've got your identity on it, too. Are there competing councils and groups or organizations, societies? Because, I mean, I would imagine that somebody could could say, well, my Uncle Charlie will certify we're doing a good job or something. And so I would think that there was more than just your group out there. There would be some of them that be less credible, and the brand, really, for what you're doing might vary a little bit if there's others out there doing this sort of thing.
Boy, another great question. You're on a roll here. That's true. There are other certifiers out there with other labels. It can be very, very confusing to the consumer. And then some, I will say, because I've seen them, it just has a statement with no certification at all. You know, and I think that really needs to be questioned. It's just, it's cage-free because I said so. And you can't find any verification either on the packaging or on the company's website. We are one of, I'd say, a handful of certifiers. We don't back down from anybody when it comes to the credibility and integrity of our scientific advisory committee. And not everyone that certifies, you know, has a committee of this stature. I will say that. We're also not an activist group. We don't take undercover videos. We don't buy 10 shares of stock in a company and then go to their shareholder meeting with motions. We are trying to be a credible, accessible agency that works with everyone, all stakeholders, to have livestock that is humanely treated with no other real agenda.
And one of the things that does come up in all of this is to produce them a certain way. There's a feeling that oftentimes that does get more expensive. And so, you know, depending when you go to buy your eggs, for example, and you look at all the descriptions of the least expensive generic egg all the way up to described as, you know, cage-free, organic, you know, lots of other descriptions. And the price goes all the way from whatever the regular price is right now for eggs up to maybe a dollar an egg in some cases. You know, and so there's that out there, and there's some pushback on that fact.
That's, I'm not going to deny that producing under these systems actually is more expensive, and for some very valid reasons. Let's again take in the egg sector. If you give chickens more space, then you need more buildings. Then you need more buildings. And also, it seems there's some research that they're not as productive, so that they may need more feed, you know, per dozen eggs. So there are some higher production costs. I'm not sure that some of the prices you're talking about only reflect those higher production costs. They may, it may be more profitable that you can command a higher price, that the market will actually pay more than what the actual higher price of production is. Our certification, however, I'd say is the least expensive aspect of that. Being in our program is not very expensive. There's an audit fee, which is annual. There's an administrative fee, which is $600 or $1,000 a year. That's all. And then the actual certification fee for the producer, 0.2 cents per dozen eggs. That's what it costs to have our logo on the eggs. That's not a deal breaker.
Well, you know, Dan, I just want to circle back one more thing, and that is that on the demand side, have you done any research about how many consumers are really caring? And is it significant, or is it changing and growing of how many producers actually, I mean, not producers, but consumers, are saying, this is important to me? Are you seeing a trend that more and more are saying that?
Thank you. I'm going to hit this one out of the park. Yes, we sponsored a study in 2014. And in that study, 95% of consumers indicated that they were very concerned about farm animal welfare. And 76% said they were willing to pay more for humanely raised meat, dairy, and eggs. And that number represents an increase from just a couple of years ago. So the answer is yes, absolutely. Again, this is what they say in a survey. What they do at the, you know, at the counter may not exactly correlate, but we are hearing that humanely raised is one of the most important attributes of all the different things that you can put on a label. People that use livestock products are very concerned that those animals are raised humanely, and we do have data to back that up.
Well, it seems to me that one of the things that this has led to this is that there's mistrust and suspicion and believing that maybe big companies in particular of late have been criticized and thinking that they'll say anything to be able to get a sale. And so there's suspicion on the part of whoever's shopping and saying, well, what are they going to say? Of course, they're going to claim this, this, and this. But they would see your logo, then oftentimes on the packages, are they typically shown on labels as certified, American Humane Certified?
Some are and some aren't, and that's a puzzle to me. And one of our goals is to get all of our certified product labeled accordingly. But that's up to the marketers. Not everyone wants it. If they want to be able to switch suppliers, to someone without the label, it gets very complicated in the downstream world of marketing. Another very important thing you said about big companies, we are size neutral. We have very large companies in our program. We have very small, heritage, very small producers. We do not believe that because you're a big producer means you're not humane, or because you are a small producer, you are. You could be an inhumane small producer and a humane large producer. So we're neutral on the size of the operation. What we care about is what's happening in those barns, how the animals are being treated.
But Dan, it's been great talking to you. I'm really impressed with your program and glad to see that you're in the middle of all of this. And I think consumers that have questions and concerns and that are increasingly interested in finding out how their food is produced and how it makes its way to the table, what do they do if they want to get more information, if they want to know about your certification program and the products that you're certifying? How do they find out?
It's on our website. It's www.humaneheartland.org. Everything I've talked about is on there, including our certified producers. You can click on eggs, you can click on dairy and see who's certified. You can also see in very great detail, if you want, exactly what our standards are. They're up there. We're transparent. And I thank you for this opportunity.
What makes you most optimistic? I mean, what gets you enthusiastic if you're looking down the road these next few years and looking at the venture that you're involved with? What really gets you stirred about this and feeling good about what you're doing and where it's heading?
I think that we're, again, part of a wave, and I think it's being driven by the millennials. It's not just enough to have cheap food. People really, I totally agree with you, and this is a truism, a cliche, but people care about the provenance of their food, and this fits squarely into the middle of that. It's not enough just to, have a race to the bottom to get the cheapest. And as part of a greater awareness, we're right in the middle of that. And I think this is sort of part of an evolutionary, trend towards making the world better in our own small way.
Great. Well, I can tell you're enthusiastic about it, and well, you should be. Thanks very much. We've been talking with Dan Berman, and he's with the American Humane Association and talking about the American Humane Certified Program. Dan, thanks for being on Farm to Table Talk.
Thank you. It's been great, Roger.